Hey folks, Jeff here. None of the podcasts on Defenestrate Media were created by a big company or a moneyed network. There's no corporate backing here. The shows, The Left Show, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I Told You So, exist because we thought that it would be fun to sit down with microphones and talk about the shit that we care about. Politics, comics, culture. Over time, something pretty amazing happened, and a community has formed around these shows. Listeners who come back every week, people who argue with us, laugh with us, send us messages, and share the episodes with friends. Recently, we got a couple of shout-outs by some bigger shows, which has reinvigorated interest in what we do here. It means that there's a lot more ears paying attention to the words that we throw out. It's a lot of growth, but growth means that what we've done is sort of hit the limit of what we can do with both the gear we have, the software we use, and the hosting that we've been running now for years. So we're asking for help. We're raising funds to upgrade our podcast hosting. We need a lot more bandwidth. We need two new hard drives for both production and storage. And then we have three pieces of software that we use that cost a bloody fortune annually to build the shows. We've always been listener supported. That's how independent podcasts like this survive. So if the shows have ever made you laugh, made you think, or just kept you company while you were driving somewhere, maybe consider pitching in this round. A few dollars helps when there's a lot of listeners that are a part of it. Look, do us a favor. Navigate yourself over to theleftshow.com. Click on that big banner for the spring fundraiser. And we're not just asking for help. We're offering prizes for people that do help. So take a look right there at the bottom of the page. You'll see everything that we're offering for those that come to our rescue. With that in mind, thank you, seriously, for helping to keep independent media alive.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the Radioactive Professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the North, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, later Jeff Bell.
Good day. Don't know where that came from or why I said it out loud, but there it is.
There it is.
Laid bare before you. Not even an attempt at an accent, just good day.
Good day.
Oh, we're going to have one of those deep shows today where lots of spirituality.
One of those hard-hitting shows. No, we're not. Nope. How was everybody's week?
Fantastic. I got to go see two movies this week. I was
wow.
So happy. I love the movies, you guys. They make me happy. I just really, really, really love going to the movies, you guys.
I miss it, but I mean, I saved up for more than a month to go and see Project Hail Mary, you know, and was still, right. I mean, just that was grocery money I spent on that idiot movie, and we raw dogged it. We didn't even do treats and stuff, and it was still $30.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What do you do?
Right. It's true. Yeah. How was your guys' week, though? What'd you guys do? Anything exciting?
I found out how expensive service dogs are. I knew they were expensive, but I was thinking in the $2,000 to $3,000 category. No, they're significantly more expensive than that.
Oof.
Yeah, it was a pretty big oof. So I don't know. What about you, sir? What'd you do this week? What's going on with you, sir?
Well, the week started and ended great. So we launched the Kickstarter on Monday, and we hit 50% funding. So $3,000 by the end of the first day. So that was huge. Absolutely. Woo-hoo. Huge. Now, that being said, the last time I did that, was with the Issue 5 Kickstarter, and then it slowly trickled in until we had to have somebody do a Hail Mary to get me to a funding, to hit the funding goal. So I wasn't like, yeah, we've won. You know, I was like, the fuck, this has got to be fixed now. But it was a moment of me going, okay, we've done this. And to, as of today, the last of my mega backers have come in, and we're at 69% funded.
Nice.
Everybody together. Nice. Here we go. So we hit 69% funded, which is very exciting. 1,800 to go. I hope that you all come over and back the Shaolin Nun at Kickstarter, shaolinnun.com/Kickstarter. We'll talk more about that later in the show. And do it now so that I'm not waiting until day 30 for that, you know, the last $10 of the 1,800 to come in. That would be really nice. But yeah, I'm grateful to everybody who's already shown up and backed me. Day one was great. I had a great time. And then yesterday was World Tai Chi Day, World Tai Chi and Qigong Day.
Oh, yeah, I saw your picture.
At Murray Park. I got to see some people I haven't seen for a long time, fellow Sifus that I haven't seen for a while, so that was nice to see them and talk to them. And we had a great morning just getting our Tai Chi on, so it was fun day.
Nice.
And that's been my fun times. But speaking of fun times, let's dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Fantagraphics and Marvel are again partnering to release a series of art books featuring, this time, a significant creator from Marvel's history. Debuting this month, the Marvel Creator Collection, number one, Back to the Savage Land, Barry Windsor Smith. At Marvel is a three-volume series featuring Windsor Smith's early work. We're on comicsbeat.com, and they've got some previews of some of the artwork. And it's all familiar. I know all of it. I've read all of it. I look at it and I go, oh, yeah, that's familiar.
So, the one, the preview they showed, you could see he was definitely mimicking a lot of Kirby's artwork and art style. Especially with the machinery and stuff. And I think that was basically, there was a style at the time, and that was the style Marvel had everybody doing.
Nice. I bet it's real, real pretty then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's awesome.
It is. I mean, it looks like classic comic art. It's what you think of. Good. Mm-hmm. Looks very Silver Age, and I mean that in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Second, third volumes of the Marvel Creator Collection. Barry Windsor Smith at Marvel will feature Machine Man and Weapon X. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I do. What else have we got? Paul Noth named first cartoonist laureate of Wisconsin. Dubious honor, but an honor nonetheless. Yeah, the New Yorker contributor Paul Noth has been named the first cartoonist laureate of Wisconsin. The title was established by the Museum of Wisconsin Art, MOA, and announced in their summer 2026 newsletter. Recipients receive a grant to serve as an ambassador for the comics medium in the state for 3 years, serving in an advisory role on education programs at the museum. They will have an exhibition of their own at the museum, and recognition at the Wisconsin State Capitol.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, Noth has over 400 cartoons published in The New Yorker. Is also best known for creating the animated Late Night with Conan O'Brien segment Pale Force, and the middle grade graphic novel trilogy How to Sell Your Family to the Aliens, How to Properly Dispose of Planet Earth, and How to Properly Dispose of Planet Earth.
Okay.
I like Paul Noth's stuff. It's really funny and political at the same time, which is awesome. I know who I'd nominate for Utah's cartoonist laureate, but he's also fled the country. but he still writes, he still does political cartoons specifically for Utah and Utah politics, which makes me laugh. He's like, I can't give it up.
It's not like
I don't live here anymore.
It's not like I'm friends with Pat Bagley. It's not like we hang out, but we used to run into each other from time to time, and we were on friendly terms. You know, I still haven't created a scandal enough to get a cartoon about me from him, which really hurts my feelings. Because I've tried my hardest. I'm just not that good at creating the kind of scandal that anybody gives a shit about, other than, you know, rich corporate Democrats. So,
right.
Yeah, I would definitely, I agree with you. I think Pat Bagley's the guy.
He'd be the guy, but like I said, he's since left the country, so I guess.
Well, you nominate people to be a good example of something, and I think that he's a good example of what I should do, is grab my kids and get the fuck out of Utah.
Right.
In an upcoming book called Star Trek Timelines, A Visual Voyage Through Generations of History, four authors will examine time travel and its effects throughout the history of the franchise. It's a 336-page book written by Derek Tyler Atico. He did the autobiography of Benjamin Sisko. Kelly Fitzpatrick, who did Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers Declassified. Michael Dismuke and Jim Johnson. Oh, yeah, save the hardest to pronounce for last. Those guys did Star Trek Adventures, the TTRPG. It's not going to be ready for the 60th anniversary in September, but it will be available later this fall. The franchise's relationship with time travel and resulting parallel timelines can be convoluted at best. And sure, crash courses like the one in Star Trek Prodigy Season 2's Temporal Mechanics 101 can help make sense of the issue, but not so much. So there's this book, Star Trek Timelines. It'll be out this fall.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's coming from DK Books, so you know, if for everybody like me who likes books with pictures, DK always puts pictures in, so it's going to be really cool.
Outstanding. Well, gang, that is it for the news.
All right, well, let's talk about the books we've read this week, starting with Joss.
All right, I picked up my giant stack because I think to myself I should go every single week or every other week, and it usually ends up being once a month that I go pick up my books, which is why I'm constantly feeling like I play catch up. But I did read, I picked up Gaston number one. And, yeah, I don't know what I expected out of this book, but it's not for me. And that is okay. Somebody out there is loving this series, I'm sure. It's going to be a deep dive into Gaston and what an absolute tool he is. I don't care. I know he's a tool. I picked up and read The Sentry number one. I haven't read much Sentry. I haven't read anything Sentry related. And I don't know, and I felt this way watching Thunderbolts. I don't know how I feel about this character, you guys. I don't know. So,
I read the original series when it came out, and I would lament the same thing. I don't know how I feel about him.
Right, like, oh, it just changes from, like, panel to panel how I feel about this character. So I'm going to pick up the next one for sure and see where I go with it, because I don't know. And then the only other real thing to note is that It's Jeff meets Daredevil. Kelly Thompson's adorable with the It's Jeff stuff. But Dead Teenagers, I got to read number one and number two. This is five friends reliving a time loop of going to prom in 1997. And the different ways that they all die. So issue one was really interesting. Issue two got me going, wait a minute. I don't know what's going on here. So, parallel universe, well, timelines, weird, time travel. But I'm excited, so I'll pick up number two. How about you, Jeff? Anything?
Yeah, I picked up Mornings on Horseback by David McCullough. It's about Thomas Jefferson.
I was going to say, that sounds heavy.
It's dense, but if you've never read David McCullough, I don't know how to tell you that he makes history so fucking entertaining. He was so good with English language that everything he writes is mind-blowingly good. And
okay.
When I'm walking up the stairs, there's a bookshelf at the head of the stairs, and Mornings on Horseback is just right there, center vision. And like I said, I read it years ago, and I just keep looking at it, and I'm like, God, I like that book. God, I like that book. God, I like that book. And I was finally like, I'm just going to fucking read it again.
Nice.
So I'm reading it again, and it's been very good. How about you, sir? What have you been reading?
From Mad Cave, we have The Phantom versus the Sky Band, number one. This is the first of their one-shots they're going to do for The Phantom. I don't know if they're going to ever get back to just doing a series. They did six issues, and then we get this. And in another month, we get another one that's just like this, another one-shot. So I wonder if they're just going to do one-shots for The Phantom. The other thing that's striking me about this is you really got to know the Phantom lore. You know, the story of the Phantom, the history. So, I mean, if you've seen the Billy Zane movie, you're pretty good. I think you got it. But otherwise, it's like, if you were coming into this fresh, it might be a little confusing if you didn't know who the Phantom was. And then we had Spider-Man, Superman, number one. This is Marvel's version of the team-up of Spider-Man and Superman, the two flagship characters. Well, actually, you know, it should have been Spider-Man, Batman if you're going to do the two flagship characters. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, you got these two guys. We got a first one was by Brad Metzler and Pepe Larraz. It's a good story. Superman getting hit with kryptonite and then getting covered by Venom. But as they finish off the storyline, there was a little moment where I'm like, wait, no, it doesn't work both ways, dudes. So it was just kind of a weird little thing. You had a Spider-Man noir meets Superman. So we're talking Golden Age Superman, written by Dan Slott. And that was a great story. I'm not that familiar with Spider-Man noir, so Peter Parker still seemed really young when we got to the end. I thought he was older. You get Gwen Stacy and Lana Lang failing the Bechdel test in a story called Sweethearts by Joe Kelly and Humberto Ramos.
Oops.
Ah, Joe Kelly, do better.
I mean, they sit there having this whole conversation, and it's them talking about their two boyfriends.
Gross.
Peter and Clark, yeah. And then we get to see montages of Peter and of Spider-Man and Superman, or Spider-Man and basically young Superman or older Superboy doing shit. And I was like, wow, this has really just failed the Bechdel test, this whole thing. Mysterio versus Superman featuring the Thing and more. Really, I wouldn't say it was Mysterio so much. I mean, he was the villain, but it's Superman meets the Thing and a bunch of other people. This is written by Jeff Johns, art by Gary Frank. Really cool. Hobgoblin versus Steel. The Hobgoblin was definitely versus Steel. The special guest appearance is, well, Steel has a hammer. You can guess who the Marvel guest appearance would be. And that was by Louise Simonson, so that was fun. Another one I didn't care for, Ghost Spider and Supergirl. It was written by Stephanie Phillips with art by Phil Noto. I thought I was going to love it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this, no, I didn't care for it. Mm. The whole time they were one-upping each other. And at the end, it was like, Gwen was like, oh, I really like her, and, you know, in her mind. And I'm like, wow, bitch. Then we get Miles Morales meets Superman by Brian Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli. That was fine. Then one called Symbiotes of Metropolis, which really wasn't that so much, by Jason Aaron, didn't care for it. And then One of Those Days, Spider-Man and Superman, Jeff Loeb and Jim Chung. Yeah, it didn't hit right. That was all. So I'd say we're half and half on those stories from Marvel.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound 50-50 on that one.
Yep. So 50-50, worth picking up. Yeah. I'd say just for a couple of those stories, it's totally worth picking up. The rest you can just, you know, read them, and maybe you'll like them. You know, maybe they didn't. Maybe they hit me wrong. I don't know. Definitely, though, the Lana Lang, Gwen Stacy one definitely failed the Bechdel test. I couldn't believe how bad it failed it. So that is it. That's what I've read. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to give our picks of the week.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, Exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
So, this Saturday, May 2nd, right? May 2nd?
Right.
Is Free Comic Book Day and Comics Giveaway Day, because Lunar got itself the trademark and the logo and everything for Free Comic Book Day, so they own that, which means Penguin doesn't get to participate unless they distribute their free comics through Lunar. So Penguin said, no, we're going to do Comics Giveaway Day on the same day. So that's what's happening. Free Comic Book Day / Comics Giveaway Day on Saturday. I will be at the Nerd Store in West Valley City, the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley City, with Doug Wagner and a couple of other guys. So you can come see us as you pick up your free comics. Now, I am limited on stock, so I am doing something special for all of you who have backed this Kickstarter, my most recent Kickstarter. If you have backed my most recent Kickstarter, come in. Go to shallendun.com/Kickstarter, pull up the page, pull up the Kickstarter page, and show it to me. If when I can see that you have backed my book, I will give you a free poster, an 11x17 poster of your choice.
Wow.
It's covers from issues 1-4 that I have posters of. You can take your pick. I did a limited run on issue 5, so I have one poster of issue 5, but my other one I did a limited run on. So I don't have the Chris Hoffman one, but I do have the other one. So I guess I do have issues 1-5. So issue 5 is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles homage that Greg did. So I have those available for you. And if you show me that you backed at a high tier level, so I'd say above $50, any of the tiers that are above $50, so you were really spending money, I will not only give you a free poster, I'll let you take a free limited print by Greg Maldonado. And these are 1 out of 100. I only printed 100 of these, and when they're gone, I don't ever want to see them again. So, because I've been holding on to these motherfuckers for years now. I thought they'd go quick, and they have not. So I'm giving these away if you show me that you've backed the book. Now, does that mean you could back the book now? Absolutely. Go to shallendun.com/Kickstarter, back the book right now, and show up at Free Comic Book Day and show it to me. And you could even do it while you're there. I'll have a QR code. This could be tricky if you don't have a Kickstarter account, though, but because you'll have to sit there and on your fucking phone set up a Kickstarter account, which, you know, drives everybody crazy. So, but you'd set up a Kickstarter account, and then you back the book, and then you show it to me, and I'll give you a free poster. Speaking of, we have, for those who have been with us from the beginning and you haven't stepped in to back us yet, first of all, where are you? What's going on, guys? I know some of you are broke, and I can forgive that. I know some of you are struggling with unemployment, and Jeff's not the only one that I've talked to that have been going through this. I see you, I hear you, and I totally have no problem. I know you feel guilty about not being able to back me, and that's okay. Believe me, I've been down this road. You know I've been down this road. I've complained about it enough for 15 years doing podcasting. I've been down this road before. I know how it is. We have two very special collector's pieces on there that nobody is grabbing yet, and we don't know why. One is a 1 out of 25 foil cover. It's a unique cover. My marketing guy just grabbed an image from the comic and built a cover out of it, and it looks amazing. Built a cover out of it, and he's doing it in gold foil. He's calling it the Power Up Your Chi foil foil cover, and it's really gorgeous. And 1 out of 25 if you pick that up, and it's not that expensive. I think it's like $40. And then we have an all metal rock and roll an all metal cover for I think that one's $50 or $60. And that's the alternate, that's the B cover, but in metal, so it's like a black and white, and then Mayan's eyes are glowing, and it just, I gotta say, it looks really cool. So those are available in other, those are actually been put in some other sets as well if you really want to spend a lot of money. But if you just want to get that one and you've been with us for the whole time, it is a tremendous collector's item. Remember, you always get the digital edition, so you could read the digital edition and keep that one pristine, slab it, whatever you want to do with it, and you have this special cover. So those are available as well. But that's it. That's it for me. Let's give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high, and I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss, what are you looking forward to this week?
So, kind of a little bit of a surprise for me. Both my picks of the week are coming from DC. We have a Batman Wonder Woman Truth Number 1 from Jeff Loeb and Jim Chung. Batman and Wonder Woman team up for a classic caper. The Lasso of Truth has been stolen, and the Caped Crusader and Amazon Princess race to ensure a safe return before it falls into the wrong hands. Dun, dun, dun. Should be fun. Should be a fun crossover. I like it when they team up. It makes me smile. And then Absolute Wonder Woman Volume 1 trade paperback is coming out this week. So if you haven't been reading Absolute Wonder Woman, here's your chance to pick up the first trade paperback and get through the first storyline, which is 1 through 7 in the comics.
Absolute Wonder Woman by friend of the show, Kelly Thompson.
Kelly Thompson for the win. What about you, Jeff? What are you picking up?
The only thing I really saw that gave any tickle at all in the big two was Absolute Superman Volume 1. Because I got fired before I finished the first story arc, so I'd really like to know how it ends. Mm-hmm. So, that's where I'm at. What about you, sir?
Let's see. From Marvel Comics, we have Planet She-Hulk number 6. I think this is it. I think this storyline will end by Stephanie Phillips, and I think the series ends because there have been no solicitations past this one. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on with She-Hulk. Just can't hold a comic book anymore, apparently. But yeah, this looks really good, and I've been enjoying Planet She-Hulk. So, I guess I'm just one of the few. And then from DC Comics, yes, Zatanna by Jamal Campbell he's doing the art. Actually, he's doing the whole thing. Jamal Campbell writing, drawing, everything. Jamal Campbell doing Zatanna, one of my favorite DC superheroes. So Zatanna is embarking on her greatest tour yet, because she tours as a magician, as a, you know, hocus pocus, you know, nothing up my sleeve magician. But, you know, in reality, she's a real wizard. And then, you know, basically whenever she's on tour, all kinds of crazy shit happens to her. So I'm excited for Zatanna. Independent-wise, from Mad Cave, we have Gatchaman, Red Impulse number one. So there was character that shows up in Gatchaman, Battle of the Planets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that it was like these three guys that would show up in these jets, and they were just as good as the Science Ninja Team, or G-Force, for those of us who remember it here in the West. And they would always just show up and then mysteriously disappear. And then we find out that the leader is probably Ken, or as you may remember him, at least of our generation, Mark's father. So yeah, it's really this cool story. And Kentaro Washio is getting a solo in this in Red Impulse number one. And then from Bad Idea, who I almost never talk about, we have Warbird number zero coming out from Robert Venditti, who you may remember was the creator and writer of John Wick. Derek Kolstad is the creator and writer of John Wick. And then Robert Venditti, who did Superman, Green Lantern, he's the comic writer. So you've got the regular screenwriter and the comic writer. And they're working with Frank Quietly on this book. Cole is a repo man of the highest caliber, repossessing heavily guarded mega yachts from billionaires, private planes from captains of industry, and everything in between. I like him already. If it's got an engine, he can drive it, ride it, or fly it straight out from under the nose of an army of guards. But now he's handed the job of a lifetime, the impossible job, the one that will bring him face to face with the highest stakes. The Russians have stolen aeronautical military secrets from China, France, Germany, the UK, and the US to Frankenstein together, the ultimate bleeding edge next-gen fighter jet, the Warbird. There are only three of them in existence. They are a force of absolute nature. 1.4 billion apiece, dominating every global hotspot from Syria to Ukraine, and Cole's been hired to steal one and destroy the other two. His fee? 10%. A cool 140 million, but this isn't a repo job. This is outright theft, and failure doesn't mean jail time and fines. It means a bullet to the back of the head.
Oof.
Yeah. I'm like, damn. Well done, guys. This is going to be a good one. How about you, Jeff? What are your indie picks?
I Hate Fairyland's hitting 50th issue. Mm. That's all. I just want it because that's a pretty cool milestone. And, yep. You know, I love Scotty Young. So I'll go ahead and pick that one just because. And then Abattoir 6, number one, coming out from Massive Publishing. Post-apocalyptic story about a group of prisoners attempting to escape an Alcatraz-sized complex while being hunted by monstrous vampires. I would want to get out of prison, too, especially if there were monstrous vampires. As opposed to the non-monstrous vampire? I don't know.
The ones who sparkle are not monstrous.
There you go.
Fair.
What about you, Jocelyn?
I also had Warbird on my list. But also from Fantagraphics coming out, it's a trade paperback, Adventures into Weird Worlds, Volume 1. This is in the unrestrained days before the Comics Code Authority censored the industry. These stories are drawn by the cream of the Atlas crop. Russ Heath, Bill Everett, Joe Manili, Carmine Infantino, lots of them. There's lots of names. But it is a bunch of old classic stories. It's the first of three volumes that will reprint the classic Atlas horror series in its entirety. So I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to read some old comic books this week.
Cool. Well, let's hop in the TARDIS and head into June one last time and give our pick of the future. All right, Joss, what are you grabbing here in June?
From Image Comics, The Eye Collector number one. An ancient being has its curiosity toward Earth reignited when the humans of the Apollo 10 mission make wishes over the moon. What is the special creature and what does it want with our world? Seeing is believing.
Wants our stuff.
For sure. How about you, Jeff? What are you picking up in June?
Picking up in June, I'm doing Boom. This is going to give you giggles. The Vampirates.
You're right. It gave me the giggles.
It's Vampire Pirates. Vampire Pirates. I don't know if I've really hit on that hard enough. It's all about vampires for me this week. But yeah, no, it looks great. The art is fucking nuts. This is from Luca Pizzari, also illustrated by Pizzari. Through the darkness of a thousand-year eclipse, they sail, seeking adventure, treasure, and blood. Okay.
Thousand-year eclipse.
That's nuts.
Is that just a dust cloud? What?
That makes 30 days a night seem like a fucking cakewalk on a Bahaman island. That's what it makes it seem like.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that's it. That's it for me. What about you?
For me, from Fantagraphics, we have a hardcover, Love and Desire in the Promised Land, The Private Lives of Israelis and Palestinians.
Ooh, that sounds heavy.
Yeah, this is written by Salome Parent Rashti. With art and cover art by DeLupi, both from there, basically. Love and Desire in the Promised Land gives voice to a dozen real-life citizens of Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank who navigate messy boundaries in their homes and bedrooms against a background of geopolitical violence. Collecting interviews conducted before the October 7th attack unleashed a new wave of bloody conflict. The book introduces fascinating individuals and couples who speak frankly about the transgressions that define their experiences with intimacy. The portrayals represent a diverse population, including an interfaith celebrity power couple, an Orthodox gynecologist. That's interesting. A young gay Muslim, a Palestinian-American feminist, a Ukrainian-Israeli artist, and a Palestinian lesbian in a relationship with an Israeli soldier. Through these candid conversations recorded by Parent Rakhdi and illustrated with a warm touch by DeLupi, the authors illuminate the culture and a people whose humanity has been shrouded by the fever pitch of politics and the tragedy of genocide in a strict society where norms are enforced by tradition, religion, and the threat of violence. These ordinary citizens follow their heart and risk it all in the name of love and desire for mature readers. So there will be newts.
Sweet.
Yep. And that is my pick. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're headed to Tinseltown.
Tell me. My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right, Jeff, you have an announcement.
Yeah, we're kicking off something new here at Defenestrate Media called the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It's not about microphones. It's not about software. It's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people actually care about. So that's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. Want to know more? Great. Pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com. Over there at the top of the sidebar is a link to said academy. I've got, let's see, 11 so far.
Really?
12. I have 12 lessons.
Ah.
Starting at the beginning.
Good place to start, buddy.
And then there is a VIP level where I just give you a couple of hours of coaching and help. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's all about recording, it's marketing, it's graphics, it's technical, it's gear, it's everything that, you need to know is going to be in the Podcast Academy. So if you pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, click on the thing, take a look, see if you're interested. Because you know you want to start a podcast because everybody else has one. Where's yours?
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Let me piggyback on that with a little lauding of Mr. Bell here. We were at, this was a couple, several years ago, we were at some podcast symposium thing. We got invited to it. And we were a featured guest to go up and talk about our shows. And I was up there just to talk about the shows. And I didn't realize Jeff had come super prepared, and he started getting into how he does the graphics and how by doing the graphics, you're constantly churning SEO, which is something I hadn't even thought about. And it's like, as soon as he started talking, I looked out at the audience and I saw notepads and pencils and pens just coming out of bags and purses of stuff. People just frantically taking notes to catch everything he was saying because it was a huge deal. So you want to get involved with this. You want to see this. Jeff knows his shit if you haven't figured that out yet.
Well, yeah. And the unfortunate thing is how often those sorts of things change. You know, yeah. At that time I gave great algorithmic advice and now that advice is silly. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. So we cover
it's
a bunch of that. Yeah.
It's completely changed. Yeah.
We cover that. We cover branding. We cover marketing. We cover all sorts of different kinds of stuff. So if you're interested, pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com and click on the link there. The only reason I'm not giving you a link to the academy itself is it's really long and I don't want to say it all out loud.
Fair.
Fair. Well, all right. I'm done with that.
All right. Well, let's talk about what we watched this week that wasn't Daredevil. Starting with
okay. Not Daredevil watched this week. You guys, Megaplex brought back the Jurassic Park movies for $5. So we went and saw Jurassic Park on the big screen, and it was so Woo! Much fun. So much fun. Such a great movie, and I love it. My other movie that I got to go see, I finally got to go see Project Hail Mary.
Oh, yay!
And I totally understand your obsession with this movie. It's so good.
You can see why I'm desperate to see it again before it's out of theaters.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan Gosling needs to win an award for this movie. He's so good in this.
The puppeteer who plays Rocky...
Yes!
Is eligible to be nominated as Best Supporting Actor.
Right. And should also win.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It's such a great movie. If you guys aren't watching it, you need to go see it. And then, not Daredevil, Count of Monte Cristo, but also Paradise. And I really like... This season, you are getting more of a... like individual character storyline and how they weave into the overall storyline. And last season was told kind of the same way, but it's told in flashbacks. So you see flashbacks in real time and flashbacks in real time. And I just really love this show, even though it gives me nightmares sometimes. So you should watch it on Hulu. How about you, Jeff? What did you watch that wasn't Daredevil this week?
Oh, that's a list. I watched Wolverine Origins. I watched Wolverine. I watched
X. I'm sorry for you on both of those.
No, you know what, though? That's the thing. Is it's like, yeah, they were crucially flawed, but 80% of it's great.
Right.
You know, it's that 20% that people in the know who've been reading the comics for 1,000 years are like, well, that's fucked up. Because there's even that scene in The Wolverine. When mm-hmm. he's in Japan and he loses his powers for a few minutes, where he cuts himself shaving, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's where we lost JC. And
no, I didn't care that he cut himself shaving and didn't heal. I cared that he was terrified to shave after that. He was afraid he would cut his own throat. I'm like, Logan, it's called a safety razor, dumbass. Go buy one.
Yeah, they nibble. They don't chomp. What else? X-Men 3. Just wanted to reconfirm to myself that it was a shit movie, and yes, it's a shit movie.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And that's the thing, is Vinnie Jones is in it, and I fucking love Vinnie Jones. Amazing, amazing Premier League soccer player. played for Arsenal, I believe, and or Liverpool. I can't remember who Vinny. Anyway, he was a football player, professional football player. Mm-hmm. Did the Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and yeah. and you know, was in those Guy Ritchie films, and it's just fucking amazing. I have a problem with a giant man calling a little girl a bitch. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand why they did it, but Brett Ratner, you know, you're real men don't call little girls a bitch, mm-hmm. even if you are Juggernaut. So that one threw me off. All caught up on Monarch, my favorite soap opera right now.
Oh my God, what an episode!
Yeah, good monster fights, everything. That was amazing.
Great monster fights, great moments all the way through. And what the fuck are, you know? It's like, okay, how do you? You know, we know you can go forward into the future if you go into Axis Mundi, because time moves slowly there. And so while you're in Axis Mundi for a few minutes or for a few weeks, it could be 60 years on Earth. But then they had the whole time dilation thing. And I'm like, but you can't really go back in time, can you? I guess we'll find out.
They'll need it to if the script says so.
Yeah.
They'll make it work.
That's exactly how it works. Yeah.
I'm all caught up on For All Mankind over there on Apple TV. I'm still enjoying the show even after what happened last episode. I thought after last episode I'd be like, well, I'm not fully attached to this anymore, but I still am. Still a great show. Wonderful scripts, wonderful acting. It's Ronald D. Moore at his best. Really good stuff. And then I watched last night I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters. That was the first one with Millie Bobby Brown in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I cannot remember the name of the actor all of a sudden who plays her dad, but he's playing Hal Jordan in Lanterns.
Yeah.
And it just remembering Bryan Cranston in the first of the American Godzilla movies, I'm like, is there just a contract clause that you got to eat the fucking scenery, that you got to try and be as big on screen as Godzilla himself? Because this is silly.
Yeah, you got to be huge or people are just going to ignore you because they're waiting for the kaiju to show up.
Yeah, a lot of overacting in this one. But I watched it for a reason. I'll tell you why in a second. And then I watched Lady Hawk from 1985. With Michelle Pfeiffer,
homework.
Rutger Hauer, and mm-hmm. Matthew Broderick. Yes, it is. That's my way of sneaking in a subtle pitch for Gen Z with myself and Braxton, which will be dropping on Wednesday. We're talking about Godzilla movies, and we're talking about the 1985 classic Lady Hawk. So yeah. You can join us there over at theleftshow.com on Wednesday.
Lady Hawk is still one of my favorite films. Just love it. I love everything about it. And it's got flaws, absolutely, but at the same time, it is so gorgeous. It's so well done. And Matthew Broderick is so cool in it. He's so charming in it. Yeah. I just love his character all the way through.
Yeah. No, a lot of fun.
The little thief. Yeah.
It was a nice revisit. I mean, it's not like I probably watched it 2-3 years ago because I fucking love it. And yeah. Honestly, I think Michelle Pfeiffer is more beautiful in this movie than she mm-hmm. is in like Scarface. You know, I mean, she's always pretty. Make no mistake. I'm not saying that there's ever been a time in her life when she's woken up and hasn't been absolutely fucking stunning, including today.
The
flu. And, you know, but no, I really did. I did. You guys have to tune in and get my take on Old Lady Hawk from 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, she's got a new series called Margot's Got Money Troubles.
Yeah.
It stars Elle Fanning as her daughter. And, why do I forget his name so easily? Nick Offerman as her dad. Nick Offerman, as her dad, is playing this character named Jinx Millet, who was a former professional wrestler. And I'm just so excited to watch Nick Offerman play a former professional wrestler.
Yes. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm three episodes in.
I can't wait. We got to watch it. I told my wife, we got to watch this. I said, I know you're wanting to ignore all the other ones that are season two for shows we enjoyed, but we're watching this fucker. cool. For me, anything else?
No. All you, buddy.
Okay. For me, we had, it was Monarch. It was, I did watch, on Arbor Day, I watched It's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown on Apple.
Nice.
Mostly because as a kid, that was how I learned about Arbor Day. It wasn't taught to me in my elementary school at all. That was how I learned about Arbor Day, was watching It's Arbor Day, Charlie Brown. So, yeah. I watched that. And then, of course, we have Daredevil Born Again.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Holy shit. That opening scene.
Right?
As they pan down the funeral. Minor spoiler alert. They pan down the funeral. Everybody's in black. And then Wilson is in white at the front. That is a Frank Miller image if I've ever seen one. It was so beautifully glaring. Or Michael Gatos, or any of those guys that just could bring that level of artistry to Daredevil, that level of beautiful artwork. I mean, it was just so cool. Oh, my God, I loved that so much.
Yes.
And then I finally got Jessica. I was so happy. I've been waiting, five episodes for her to show up?
What a great introduction for her, too. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The implications of that introduction, I'm curious. We've heard some of the chatter about next season, so I'm really excited. I will say one thing that kind of maybe they could have done slightly better is that it has been long enough that if you're not a serious fan and you didn't watch all the Netflix shows, you don't have any idea who that character is. So they could have maybe done a better introduction or a little bit of an introduction. I don't know. I watched it with Mini-Me, and this is their first watch through. And so they know the name, but we had to pause it and kind of talk through a little bit of backstory.
There's this comic book series from 2000 called Alias by Brian Michael Bendis. That explores this woman who winds up eventually marrying Luke Cage and having his kid named Danielle. And there was Danielle, pretty obviously of mixed race. Just saying. Maybe Luke got over that whole I'm the King of Harlem stuff, you know? I don't know. Excited for it, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I get quiet? Did you guys not hear me? Everybody's just suddenly smiling and not looking at me or anything. So, okay. What else about Daredevil do you guys want to talk about that isn't a spoiler?
It's all spoilers. There's nothing but spoilers in this whole episode.
Nothing else is spoilers. Yeah. Well, we knew about Danielle because it's actually in the... There was a trailer where she said, my kid was there. She said that in the trailer. So I figured that one was safe. But my hell. There's a fight scene that I was actually terrified watching.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a fight scene. And I was a little terrified until someone decided he was going to stop holding back. And then it was awesome. So, yeah, that was awesome.
It was a good fight scene. Right. It was a good fight.
That was fantastic.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I love this series. I hope we get... Are we getting... What did we have last season? We had 13 episodes?
No, we had nine. And I think we only get eight this season.
Eight this season. So we're only going to get a couple more episodes and we're out. So... but we need more. We need so much more.
Right? So much more.
All right, let's do some Tinseltown news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
the Clayface trailer, a bunch of trailers dropped this week, but it's hard to talk about a visual medium on an audio medium.
Yeah.
And even weird. When we start shooting this in video, the fundraiser popped and fizzled, and I didn't get what we needed to be able to incorporate clips yet. Mm-hmm. Yet. Still working on it.
Yet.
So DC dropped the trailer for Clayface.
Oh.
They're calling it DCU's first horror movie. Oh. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks creepy as hell. Written by Mike Flanagan, who did Dr. Sleep. And Hussein Amini, who did Drive. Both amazing. Directed mm-hmm. by James Watkins from See No Evil. Yeah, this is going to be good. Tom Rhys Harries from Doctor Who will be starring as Matt Hagen / AKA Clayface.
What? Who was he in Doctor Who? I don't even remember him in Doctor Who. I think they got that one wrong. to be honest,
I'm gonna look and find out. Because
was it?
He was. Right. It's like saying Andrew Garfield is from Doctor Who.
Yeah. Well, he is. I remember him in Doctor Who. Maybe this guy did have like an Andrew Garfield level episode or something. But yeah, he didn't stick out to me. And I know he was in The Gentleman. So why he didn't bring up The Gentleman, I don't know.
He played
that's a comic book tie-in.
Ricky September in the Doctor Who Series 14 episode Dot and Bubble in 2024.
Oh.
He was a resident of Fine Time.
Yeah. That was the racist episode.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Where it was an entire colony of white people who didn't. And when the doctor showed up, played by Shuri Gatwa, they wouldn't listen to him. But if Ruby said something, they would listen.
Oh, I like it.
Oof.
I remember now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
it was a hard episode. And in the end, he was like, fine, just go off and die. Because they would listen to him.
Yep. But he's a good looking fella.
Yep.
So more tragic when the good looking fellas turn into melty shit.
Yes. Melty clay faced guy.
And then news that I probably should have doubled down on last episode, but for some reason missed. The Phantom, the live action TV series, is coming from Reginald Hudlin. And King Features.
That's actually got me more excited that Rachel Hudlin's involved.
So. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, it's currently in development stage at the Hearst-owned King Features.
Okay.
Yep. So, looking forward to that. Absolutely looking forward to that. And then Netflix to develop a live-action film based on Keanu Reeves. Holy shit, we talked about this 3 fucking years ago.
I know.
But Netflix, on their website, finally got around to telling us about it. No release date, no here's when it's coming, no shooting.
It was an announcement to develop it. Yep. They were supposed to be developing it when he was doing the Kickstarter at the same time I was doing Shaolin Nun number 1 on Kickstarter.
Yep.
That's how long ago this was.
Yep. Yep. So it'll be there.
P.S. Netflix, it's not S'S. It's never S'S. You don't need the second S. Keanu Reeves's in their headline. I was like, just put an apostrophe at the end. We know it's possessive.
Reeves's. I'm with you there, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, gang. That
I've entitled the episode as it's never S'S.
There you go. That is it for the news.
All right. Then we want you to join us at Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia, where every week we give you extra content. This week, based on something that happened, I'm going to talk about Omaha the Cat Dancer, a book you probably never heard of, but was very important in the indie comics line back in the late 70s and early 80s. We're going to talk about that. And whatever else we feel like talking about. So join us. Join us today on Patreon, patreon.com/dfanmedia. Join our Patreon squad. Help us make a Patreon platoon, patreon.com/dfanmedia. And until then, until I see you next time, I will say, as I always do, until Gwen Stacy and Lana Lang can't pass a Bechdel test, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.